Open our hearts and minds, Lord God, through the power of your Spirit, that we might know in a new way and be renewed by the one who is indeed our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, the living Word, calling us even today. In his name we pray. Amen. So our first reading, and you never know, the PNC whom you've just heard from may call a liturgical pastor. The first reading will be a reading that is from the same chapter that all Episcopalians, all Lutherans, all Catholics, all Greek Orthodox will be hearing this Sunday. So we're hearing this with some billion or other Christians across the world. It's from John 10, the first 11 verses. Listen for the Word of God. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it abundantly." And from the 21st chapter of the same gospel, Jesus, in one of his post-resurrection appearances along the seashore with his disciples, we pick up in the midst of that conversation. Verses 15 through 17 of chapter 21. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My Aunt Lois's telephone does not operate properly. For some time now, shortly after she answers her phone, she will tell me she can't hear me. Now, I can understand every word that Lois is saying, but shout as I may, she cannot hear me. Now, it may have something to do with the fact that at age 92, my great aunt Lois does not hear nearly as well as she once did. I can empathize. But she says, It's her phone. My most recent conversation with her went like the ones before. She would talk. Aunt Lois is very good at that. And I would listen. She would ask me a series of questions that began, "How is Roberta? How are you? How is the rest of the family?" And after a few responses to those, she would once again say she couldn't hear me. And so it went. Now, at the end of this one-sided conversation, Aunt Lois stated once again, "Bill, I can't understand a word you're saying." Now, mind you, it's not the accent. Lois is from West Virginia as well and, and speaks that language far better than I do. But this time, she added a poignant word, I thought. She said, "Bill, I can't understand a word you're saying, but I know it's you because I know your voice. I know your voice." In our first gospel reading for today, Jesus tells his disciples about knowing a voice, his voice, a voice we can trust. "Sheep will not follow a stranger," he said, "because a stranger's voice they do not know. The sheep know the voice of their shepherd, and they follow only him. Because they belong to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, they respond faithfully to the sound of his voice and his voice alone." And our second gospel lesson indicates how we are to respond. "Do you love me, Simon?" We are to respond in love. But here Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. What is there about Jesus' voice that beckons his own to follow? Well, let's face it. The world is cluttered with many voices competing for our attention, especially in this election season. Whomever you support among the five candidates, you hear from each loud, sometimes strident voices. And a number of voices shout for our loyalty in other ways, urge us to get into step and to join the followers of this or that bumper stickered cause. "Have you held your child today?" "Support the NRA, save the rainforest, buy American, coexist." Now, Jesus' voice may sometimes be heard above these clamoring voices, and it may be heard at times even in some of these voices, but Jesus claims that his followers will surely know his voice when they hear it, that they will be able to distinguish his clear and true call from the false tones of strangers. But what makes this so? What is there about Jesus' voice that is unmistakable to his followers? Now, part of it, of course, is familiarity. And I was reminded of this. I said I wasn't going to say much about it, but I was reminded of this last week. Even an infant, a 9-month-old infant, surrounded by whispers, whispering and beckoning voices, four grandparents and other family around the crib, but the one voice that lightens and brightens her face the most is the voice of the mother. The voice with which she is most familiar. Or again, two people meet. I'm reminded of a time some years ago when I went back to my home state of West Virginia, went out to eat with some family, and was at a table visiting, and I heard a voice near our table, just right across the way, and I kept saying to my cousin with whom I was eating, "That voice sounds familiar. I know that person." And sure enough, I went up to him and said, "Dean, is that you? This is Bill Ingersoll." Hadn't seen him in 10, 20 years. But I knew his voice. Familiarity is one thing to which we respond. And just so Jesus' followers recognize his voice because it's familiar, we discern its cadences, we remember its reassuring rhythms over and over again in times of distress and pain when we have not been sure we could take one more step forward along the pathway of suffering. He has spoken comfort to us. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Many times when our faith has faltered and our vision grows dim, which it does for even those of the strongest of faith from time to time, he has reassured us. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." When we were uncertain about life's purpose, confused about what makes life true and good, he has called us anew. "This is my commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you." And that is borne witness to when he has this conversation with Simon Peter on the lake shore. "Simon, do you love me?" That is the heart of Jesus' voice. Love calling forth for love in return. And even when we have stood at the rim of death's canyon, staring with grief into its depths, says one minister, over and over Christ has spoken to us of hope. "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they were dead, yet shall they live." Yes, at every bend in the road and every predicament along life's way, we have felt Jesus' presence and have heard his familiar words all the days of our lives. He has been the good shepherd, and we know his voice. In the flurry of voices that fill the world, the followers of Jesus listen most for the sound of the voice we know best, the voice that speaks compassionately, mercifully, lovingly, and hopefully. When we hear this voice, the voice of the shepherd, we follow. We do not listen to the voices of strangers. We are not to listen to voices of strangers, those with voices of bitterness and stridency, those with voices of judgment, hatred, and strife. But rather, we respond to the voice calling forth our love. "Simon, do you love me?" feed my sheep. It's your calling. It's mine. But it's more than familiarity that causes the followers of Jesus to recognize his voice. Our passage from John 10 reminds us that Jesus calls his sheep by name and leads them out. Yes, the voice of Jesus speaks personally and commandingly. The voice of Jesus is not spoken over simply a public address system making a vague general announcement for all the world to hear. It speaks to each one of us individually, lovingly calling out each one of our names, summoning every one of us to respond to God's love with love for others. Feed my sheep. The minister Tom Long, who had certainly influenced this sermon, tells about a church drama troupe that presented as a special event on the weekend before Christmas in a congregation, a dessert and drama production. We've done similar things, I understand, here for different occasions, capital fund campaigns. But this year in this church Tom Long is speaking about, it was a Christmas dinner, and the presentation was Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And the church fellowship hall was transformed into a theater with folding chairs clustered around tables and all around a makeshift stage fitted with painted backdrops depicting Victorian England and the 19th century look of London. And when the audience was gathered and were handed their programs, some were amused to note that the part of the tight-fisted Ebenezer Scrooge was being played by the clerk of session, who was anything but that. He was a gentleman of quite un-Scrooge-like generosity. And they were impressed, though, by the vigor with which he invested himself in his party. Growled his way through the opening scenes. He rang out every bah humbug with miserly ill will, and he shivered with fright as he encountered the series of Christmas ghosts. And the final scene called for a transformed and jubilant Scrooge to greet the light of Christmas Day by flinging open his bedroom window and bellowing out to the startled audience below, "Merry Christmas, everyone! Merry Christmas!" And then Scrooge, wishing to bestow Christmas gifts upon the needy of London and looking for someone to help dispense the gifts, was to act as if he spied a street urchin and was to say to that person, hey boy, you there, and ask the person to come, this imaginary figure, to come up here, boy. I've got something wonderful for you to do. But something beautiful and unexpected happened this night of drama. When the radiant and transformed Scrooge beckoned from the window, "Come up here, boy. I've got something wonderful for you to do." A 6-year-old boy there in the audience stood up, walked to the stage, looking to see what he was to do. And the actor Scrooge blinked in disbelief. There was now an unscripted child here on the center stage. What do you do? The audience held its breath, not knowing what was to happen. And then the person of faith beneath the veneer of Scrooge took charge. Bounding down from his window perch, he strode across the stage and cheerily embraced the waiting boy. "Yes, indeed," he exclaimed, his voice full of blessing. "You are the very one I had in mind." Then he gently led the boy back to his seat in the audience, returned to the stage, and resumed the play. And when the curtain calls were held, it was, of course, this boy, the one who felt himself personally summoned from his seat, who received, along with old Ebenezer himself, the audience's loudest and most sustained applause. Just so, Jesus' sheep hear and know the merciful voice of the Good Shepherd. And when we get up out of our seats in the drama of life and bound upon the stage, ready to respond with love, the Good Shepherd himself embraces us, saying, "Yes, yes, you are the very one I had in mind. Come, feed my sheep." Amen.